Would you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 24? Isaiah chapter 24. This morning's title is A Divine Refuge from the Worldly Storm. Have you ever heard the word doomsday preppers? Probably you've seen this reality show from National Geographic Channel. And prepper means, in case you don't know what the prepper is a person who believes a catastrophic disaster or emergency is likely to happen in near future, and they make active preparation for it. Typically, they build shelters, sometimes shelters to withstand a nuclear attack. And they're stockpiling food, water, weapons, ammunition, and other supplies. Of course, they get the gas mask as well. I don't have a problem with being preparing for that kind of thing. You know, if they want to do it, go for it. The people who are really good at it is Mormon people. Because in their mind, they will go through this thing, the tribulation, they're preparing all these things. Idea of preparing for the catastrophic disaster become very popular among the American people, especially. Though it's still, and also another thing they are preparing is they call it zombie hunting or zombie killing. Have you heard that? And it has become a very, very popular thing. A lot of movies, thanks to Hollywood and video games, zombies are very popular. It started with the Haitian rural legend, like a living dead. And people who are into this zombie is from the teens to the 30-some years old. So what these two concepts, preppers and the zombie killers or zombie hunters or whatever you want to call it, what are they in common? I wouldn't be surprised if the people who are living in the time of a great tribulation will actually face this situation. People who live through the great tribulation, they have to prepare themselves for that doomsday. And most likely they will encounter zombie lookalikes. And you may say, you've been watching way too many reality shows and movies. No, I actually refuse to watch zombie movies. But I wouldn't be one bit surprised a nuclear attack will happen during the Great Tribulation time. And the radiation effect will affect the people. And their faces, their body will distort it badly. In 7 years' time, people, their body will start to fall apart and it will look like more like a walking dead. During that time, nuclear war will probably be started by the trigger-happy dictators like Kim Jong-un, a fat boy in North Korea. This juvenile is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he has a very, very itchy trigger finger, and he has a nuclear bombs. And he blandished that. Then someone in this room or down the road, somebody who watched the YouTube videos, will wonder, what about the born-again believers in Christ during that great tribulation time? I will go more in detail later time, but here are my quick answers in two ways. Number one, if you are born-again Christian, you will go to heaven. You will go to heaven before the great tribulation happens. You will be taken out of this world to heaven without experiencing that which we call rapture. Now, you will fly away without the help of airplane or the wingsuit or whatever you want to call it. It will be like a beam me up, Scotty thing. You don't need a frequent mileage program number. You just go away. And see, Jesus is the divine refuge from the worldly storm. Second answer that I give it to you, if you are not a born-again Christian, And let's say the rapture happened today. And great tribulation starts from today. For 7 years, if you during that 7 years, if you become a born-again Christian, God will protect you. And if you get killed, and you're thinking, oh, that's not a protection. Yeah, it is. Because God is giving you salvation. If you get killed during the great tribulation, you will be in heaven with us. And if you somehow survive through that great tribulation, at the end of the great tribulation, you will be living under the reign of Jesus Christ without death, living forever. After prophesying the judgment against the 11 different kingdoms that we studied from the chapter 13 through chapter 23 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah extended his prophecy of the judgment against the whole world this time in chapter 24 through 27. And that's where we are studying, chapter 24, verse 17. And let's pray. Father, we are living in a perilous time, and there are many voices declaring the truth, but we know the truth only comes from you. Father, teach us, open our heart to receive your guidance through the Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with your understanding. Fill our heart with the wisdom. Fill our heart with the anointing that comes from you, that we may understand your truth and follow you. Father, during this time, there will be a lot of distraction. Let our heart and eyes are focused on you. Father, protect my brothers and sisters in this room and then those who come call this place home and the one who call you Savior and Lord. Father, we also your protection upon our soldiers and the firefighters and this law enforcement personnel, especially the one in the harm's way in the foreign country. And we also lifting up the salvation, President Obama's salvation, whatever it takes for you to get his attention, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 17 of chapter 24, please, in the book of Isaiah. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth, and it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. He who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from the high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. And the earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, and the earth is shaken exceedingly. And the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. I bet the Napa Valley people in California were thinking about this verse this morning. And it shall totter like a hart, and its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted one, on the earth the kings of the earth, and they will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished, and the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. As you watch nightly news or read newspaper each day, don't you ever wonder when God is going to punish these people, the wicked people? Because these wicked people is continually hurting the victims. And the pathetic American justice system tend to turn their blind eyes, turn their deaf ear to the victims, and allowing the wicked people to continue, but God will not. At the great white throne judgment, those people will wish that they spoke one less lie and one less wicked things. And the judgment of God will be inescapable, complete, precise, and righteous, because our God is no respecter of persons. What we just read is described in chapter 24 is what will happen during the 7-year tribulation time. Especially verses 19 through 20, it describes a major earthquake that rattled everything around the world. Some Bible scholars believe that this is a polar axis shifting. You know that the earth is a spin from west to east. And an equator is around 1,000 miles per hour. Around this North America, probably I wouldn't be surprised if it's 300 to 400 miles per hour we are spinning, and we don't realize that. Earth will go around like this, around the sun. In the meanwhile, while it's rotating orbit, and it will have its own pole, and it's shifting like this. This is perpendicular to the orbit here, but it's tilted at 23.5 degrees. By having 23.5 degrees, we get to have a four seasons. Otherwise, if we don't have this tilted orbit at the axis, this portion will be hot all the time, and a certain portion of the Earth will be cold all the time. We have four distinctive seasons, right? In the Greendalian and Sararita. Winter is kind of cool. Spring is hot. During the summertime, are you kidding me? It's burning hot. And then fall, we have a still hot. Four distinctive seasons. According to NASA website, if the Earth axis shift, people on the Earth will face a catastrophic disasters. It would produce wind with a speed of thousands of miles per hour everywhere. And this will initiate the tidal waves and massive tsunamis around the world as well. Anything that not anchored to bedrock will be torn out of the soil and mixed with the world-enveloping hurricane activity. The Earth would remain engulfed in the thick cloud and dirt and dust and debris. Then earthquake Richter scale, that is higher than 7, or probably higher, much higher, will start to shake everything out of its place. Some of you are thinking, well, I didn't come to church to hear this gloomy news. Well, let me put it this way, Buckaroo. If you are not in Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation time, you will face it. So what they went through this morning at 3:30 in the morning in Napa Valley, California, was the Richter scale only 6. If they think that was bad, make sure that is nothing. It's like a baby rattling their toy. Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 36. Let's talk about rapture. But of that day and hour, no one knows, even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Would you underline, highlight, circle, I don't care what you do, put that in your heart. No one knows, okay? That is very important. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. See, when Jesus said, no one knows, what does it mean? No one knows. But somehow, somebody said, well, I had a personal revelation because Jesus came in to my bedroom last night. Or they come up with this Bible code, hidden formula. They just figured it out. Like, remember that guy, Harold Camping, a couple of years ago, who declared that he said, well, he find out that when the rapture date was, that the rapture date came and gone, and he said, it was a miscalculation, really. Whenever some la-la land theologians come up with this idea that they know the rapture date, you better know that that's not going to happen on that day. Somehow, the people rather believe that silly notion like that than believe that what Bible says. No one knows means no one knows, no matter what kind of language that is. Generally, there will be four different concepts of time of rapture. Those who believe the rapture will happen before tribulation is known as pre-tribulation or pre-trib. And those who believe the rapture will happen sometime in the middle of a tribulation, known as a mid-trib or mid-tribulation. And third camp are those who believed the rapture will happen almost at the end of a tribulation. They are known as a post-tribulation. And lastly, there are a group of people who believe that it will pan out somehow throughout the tribulation time. They have at least biblical reference to show their theory. Why does debate the continue concerning the time of this event? I believe that it's due to the misunderstanding to whom Jesus was speaking to. Since we are in the book of Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be the great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be, except that those days should be shortened, and there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Note that word elect. And those who believe the mid-trib or post-trib say that this elect is you're talking about believers in Jesus Christ. However, they are not thinking a couple things. See, this elect is not necessarily referring to the Christian, the body of Jesus Christ now. Yes, it talks about it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. But when we go to Isaiah chapter 45, it talks about Israel in general, as well as the people who are believers who are saved during the time of the Great Tribulation. So to which elect does Jesus refer to this Matthew chapter 24, verse 21? I believe the answer is in the preceding verse, in verse 20. So go back to verse 20, please. Chapter 24. Jesus speaking, pray that you your flight may not be in the winter on the Sabbath. Did you notice the word Sabbath? Does Sabbath apply to Gentiles? Which group does that apply to? Israel. In other words, this particular one is Jesus is referring to Sabbath for Israeli people. Even to this day, transportation in Israel shut down on Sabbath. If you are in Israel and during the Sabbath time, you cannot get on bus, you cannot get on a taxi, because there's no taxi, there's no bus. Since the Sabbath means nothing to Gentile nation, the application is clearly for Israeli people. I had an occasion to talk to the mid-trip person, more he was into the post-trip. And he was bringing this chapter 24 in the book of Matthew. And he was trying to make a parallel to the Revelation chapter 6. You know, the chapter 6, there is a rider with a white horse, black horse, and rider with a red horse, and the last one, the rider on the pale horse. And he's talking about all these things. See, this is the elect going through the tribulation. He forgot the verse 20, speaking to the Israeli people, great tribulation time. You don't find, besides, who wrote the book of Revelation? Apostle John. See, you don't find anywhere from the chapter 6 of the book of Revelation to the, all the way to the 19, not a one single time he wrote the word church. From chapter 1 through 3, he talked about church, 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 church. And after chapter 3, he stopped using that word. In other words, as if he's saying there's no church between during the tribulation time from chapter 6 all the way to the 19. Am I making sense to you? Do you think he was a kind of, Apostle John is having a amnesia that he forgot the word church? No, he purposely did not use the word church. So let me say this, kind of jokingly. If you like, because you believe the mid-trib and post-trib, if you really like to stick around for the Great Tribulation time, go for it. I'm going up at the first load. I'm gone. By the way, even if you believe the post-trib and mid-trib, when the rapture happens, we will go. You will go. And I'm not going to even say anything to you when they happen. I'll just look at you. In case you want to study the pre-tribulation theology, you can visit our church website to download my sermon note, 12 Reasons for the Pre-Tribulation Rapture. And there is a website address, it's in your sermon note as well. Let's go to chapter 25 of Isaiah. Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away fears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. See, this chapter 25 is song of praise to the Lord from the believing remnant who preserved during the Great Tribulation, the day of the Lord. Due to the Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, death was introduced to the mankind. He could live forever, but he chose to sin, and consequently, now we all have a death. But it was conquered by Jesus on the cross. And one day, it will be completely eliminated by God. When would that be? How would that happen? Go to Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. After the great white throne judgment, verse 14 says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, the Apostle Paul, who was led by the Holy Spirit, taught us about this as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass in saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is a sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may say, oh, I get it. The Bible copy from the Hamlet written by the Shakespeare. No, trust me, Shakespeare copied from the Bible. Ever since Jesus' resurrection, every born-again believer's dead body will experience resurrection the day of the rapture, not resuscitation. Let me make an example. Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? Jesus raised him from the dead. Unfortunately, he had to die again. That poor guy had to die twice. You remember the Apostle Paul raised this guy who fell asleep during the sermon, his sermon? So don't fall asleep on me. He fell from the three stories and died. And he was resuscitated. Lazarus was resuscitated. This young man was resuscitated. But they both had to encounter their own death again. But we will not have, if the rapture happened right now, we will not encounter death. What about the people who died before? They will experience the resurrection. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You knew I would go there, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's a rapture scene. Here's a rapture scene. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Do not misunderstand this trumpet of God. God is the one who is calling. God is using, blowing the trumpet, he himself. Don't get confused with this one, with the trumpet, seven trumpet in the book of Revelation. They are blown by the angels. You follow me? There are two different trumpeters. This one is God. God is literally waking them up. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And therefore to comfort one another with this word. By the way, there's some liberal theologians said that, well, there's no rapture mentioned in the Bible. Exactly. Never mentioned in the Bible. So, and they said, that's why we cannot believe the rapture is real. Well, let me put it, wake you up this way. There's no word mentioned in the Bible. Do you know that? So you're going to discard this book too? Obviously they do. In case you wonder where the rapture, English word rapture, we get, it's verse 17. Shall and remain shall caught up together. Caught up. Latin word is raptures. And we get the English word rapture. Since death ran through the vein of Jesus Christ on the cross, who is life essential, he was swallowed up and will be destroyed at the end of great tribulation. In addition to that, our Lord will wipe away tears from our faces for the sadness of losing someone we love, because we will get to see them if they are born again believers in the Lord. You may know many people who are believers and passed away, gone to glory. You will see them again. And of course, the Lord will wipe away all the tears. Go down to chapter 26, verse 3, please. Chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, beside he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. What a promise. Perfect peace. God promised that we can have a perfect peace. In Hebrew word, that perfect peace is a shalom, shalom. And you're thinking, you mean they are the same word? Yes. It's emphasizing, intensifying, trying to communicate. And many people around the world want peace. See, their idea of the peace is no threat with a tranquility and serenity. So, more like, think about it, it's like on the seashore, and there's no threat, there's no hurricane, there's no tsunami coming to you, and everything is quiet, and you're thinking, oh, what a peace. That's an external. Soon as there's a big wave comes to you, and you're going to run. However, even if you have that kind of situation, if the person does not have a peace within one's heart, he or she doesn't have a peace. Am I making sense? At the same time, the person who has a peace with God and the peace of God can be in the middle of the life-threatening war zone and still have a peace. And you may say, how does that work? Let me explain. problem is that you cannot have a peace of God unless you first have a peace with God through Jesus Christ. You know the difference in this? Preposition makes a difference. You cannot have a peace of God until you have a peace with God. Because as long as you refuse to surrender your life to Christ and receive Him as a Lord and Savior in your heart, you remain as an enemy of God. And you may say, well, I'm not an enemy of God. I believe that Jesus is God. Well, really? Satan believes that Jesus is God. Satan knows that Jesus is God. Does it mean that he's a follower of Jesus Christ? No. Knowing and accepting him in your heart is two different things. So unless you have a peace with God by accepting his condition, you don't have a peace of God. Once you become a born-again Christian, you will learn to have a peace of God through His Word by trusting Him more and more. Two applications. Number one, no one is more secure than those who are in God's hand. No one is more secure than those who are in God's hand. So you see the flood water that condemned the entire world, the violent world, lift up the Noah's family in their ark. The same water destroyed the wall, entire wall, that lifted them up to the safety. They were secure in the ark of safety because they followed the Lord. Second application. True peace does not come from the what we can buy or what we can achieve. Rather, it only comes from the one who paid for our sins with his sacrifice on the cross. True peace only comes through Jesus Christ. Amen? It is no wonder He is the Prince of Peace.